The National Party rolled out an election year staple this week, reviving the well-worn debate over government spending on contractors and consultants. The old topic giving the opposition new energy.
We've heard this week the phenomenal figure.
What have we got for it?
Lots of talking points, lots of memos.
Clear that not everybody got the memo.
Kia ora, ko Craig McCullough ko hou, ane te pūrongo tōranga pū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. National inarguably set this week's agenda as Christopher Luxon delivered his State of the Nation address in Auckland. The headline announcement was a childcare subsidy dubbed Family Boost, costed at some $250 million a year. The childcare support got some initial positive attention, but what endured was how it would be paid for. Christopher Luxon pledged to fund it entirely through a consultancy cull, slicing $400 million a year off the public sector spend on contractors.
The culture of public servants rebranding as contractors only to do the same job at twice the hourly rate, I can tell you, is chronic and rife in Wellington.
In preparation for the speech, National's team had been crunching the numbers, pulling together the latest information from annual reviews and reports. When Labor took office in 2017, the annual spend on consultants and contractors across the core public service, that's 35 ministries and departments, was about $900 million. At the time, Chris Hipkins, as State Services Minister, was describing the situation as unsustainable, a blowout which he blamed on the National Party. He pledged to cut back that spending, and for a while, it did level off. In the last year in particular, though, the figure has surged, topping $1.2 billion in the latest update, up by a third.
Labor has created a total gravy train for consultants through its obsession with working groups, wasteful spending, expensive public sector restructures that frankly are a boon for partners at the big consultancy firms, but they are not delivering better results for Kiwis.
National has also analysed the spending by other Crown entities like Waka Kotahi and Kāinga Ora, which are not included in the core public service numbers. Adding in those 30-odd extra agencies, the total bill climbs to about $1.7 billion, still up by about a third on like-for-like numbers. Whichever figure you look at, it is a sizeable increase. National reckons it can wind back the clock, returning the spend much closer to those 2017 levels.
Under National, this gravy train's going to stop at the station.
The focus is a strategic one for National, which sees the public service as a vulnerability for Labour, and in particular for the Prime Minister Chris Hipkins. Before his recent promotion, Chris Hipkins was the Minister in charge of the public service, the one overseeing the increased spend. The biggest spender also fell under his watch as Education Minister, with that ministry topping the leaderboard. It alone spent almost $240 million on contractors and consultants. It doesn't help, too, that back in opposition, Mr. Hipkins was particularly vocal about National's consultancy bill at the time.
It's a really bad look for them. I think they should be asking some very serious questions about why this increase in consultants' fees has been necessary at a time when all New Zealanders are being asked to tighten their belts.
That could almost be a direct quote from Christopher Luxon's speech this week. National has been relentless in its attack, pursuing the subject every day in Parliament's debating chamber.
Why hasn't there been a reduction in consultant spending?
Does the Minister consider the government is getting good value from its spending on consultants and contractors?
What actions, if any, has he taken to address the use of contractors and consultants in the public service?
In a series of select committee meetings.
The topic of the day is around consultants.
You've had a blowout in both areas.
And across a full suite of media interviews.
What Chris Hipkins was saying back in 2018, he said, I'll promise to reduce consultants from where it sits in 2018. Well, every year over the last 6 years, it's actually increased.
We don't like this merry-go-round where people leave the public service and then the next day return as a contractor, charging out at twice the rate.
Labour has struggled somewhat to counter the attack. Indeed, it has acknowledged and accepted the crux of National's argument, which is that there is too much use of consultants and contractors. At the same time, it has defended much of the recent increase as justified and one-off. For example, work on the COVID-19 vaccination rollout and several major IT projects. In education, much of that spending is on construction, that is, building classrooms. Take a listen to the argument as mounted by Chris Hipkins here in an interview with Guyon Espiner on RNZ's Morning Report.
I'm not a fan, and I'm on record of this, I'm not a huge fan of using consultants and contractors where there's an in-house solution.
Well, why have you been doing it so much then? And you've been in charge of many of these portfolios.
We have to accept that in some professions, and IT and building and construction are good examples of that. They are consultant or contractor.
Yeah, you've made that point, but these are policy reviews, like the Internet Gaming Review or something. You've got the Ministry for Business, MB. More than $100 million on consultants. They've got 5,301 employees. You're telling me that none of them could do that work?
Oh, I think ultimately the way our public finance system works, as you know, Guy, is that the chief executives make the decisions about that. The government's view, which is that we should be in-housing much more of this as much as possible, has been made very, very clear to them.
Has a memo gone out on that?
Oh, yes, many times over the last 5 years.
Well, who's not getting the memo?
Well, I mean, under our public finance rules, the chief executives make decisions on how best to deliver, you know, the things that the government is asking them to do. I think that, you know, there's a valid point here. I think there is still too much use of consultants and contractors in the public service.
You reckon that National can find $400 million less, as they're promising?
Well, that wasn't the experience of them last time they were in government. But actually, all of the examples that they are using is expenditure that's already happened. So National saying that they're going to cut the use of consultants and contractors to pay for their early childhood education policy would be a bit like a household saying, well, we got in a gardener to do our garden. That turned out to be too expensive, so next time we're going to do it ourselves. You don't get to re-spend the money that you've already spent on the gardener, which is what they're proposing to do.
Well, yeah, but your argument as well, we've spent the lot.
No, not quite. But it is an argument to say that you can't go back and re-spend money that's already been spent, which is what they're effectively proposing.
Can we get a commitment from you this morning then? Are you promising this morning that expenditure on consultants will significantly reduce?
I think we'd like to put more downward pressure on the consultant and contractor spend.
Come on, let's see if we can do any better than let's see if we can do any better than that. Just finally, because I've only got a minute before you have to go to your next interview. Can you promise this morning that expenditure on consultants will significantly reduce?
Well, I can't make that promise, Guyon, because if someone says to me, you can build this new school, but the only way you can do that is to get in contractors to do it, I'm still going to build the new school.
By chance, the Public Service Commissioner, Peter Hughes, was due to appear before a parliamentary select committee on Wednesday. And expecting questions on the consultancy spend, he came armed with his own calculations. First, he stripped out the spending on capital, as that tends to be those major one-off projects. He then zoomed in on the remaining spending, operational spending, and presented that as a percentage of the total workforce bill. By that measure, the spend has been trending down from 13.4% in 2017-18 to 10.4% in 2020-21. It has since spiked in the latest numbers to hit 14.6%, but Peter Hughes says that is chiefly due to the pandemic.
So that COVID wave knocked us off track, and that is still flowing through the system. So the 21-22 numbers that you are quoting are higher than they have been previously. But I'm confident that we will get back on that pathway once the COVID effect flows through the system.
Peter Hughes also points out that contractors play an important role, particularly if a government, like this one, has a large reform program.
There is nothing wrong with using consultants or contractors. The alternative is the public service raising a standing army that sit around and wait for work to arrive. So often it's the best way to get the job done.
The public service is far from a new target for the National Party. Last year it promised to trim the number of public servants in order to pay for its tax cut package, pointing to the extra 14,000 workers hired since Labour took office. Christopher Luxon maintains there is room to cut back there, as well as on contractors and consultants. And he reiterated that commitment to Corin Dan on RNZ's Morning Report.
We want 25% reduction in contractor and consultants budget immediately. That's a very clear brief that actually you actually say that target, you actually measure against it, you report it quarterly and make sure that's actually happening, not annually as it happens here in New Zealand, and you just march it down. And I can tell you the biggest problem that we've got is because the CEOs of these organisations are not clear on the outcomes and the core purpose of what they're there to do and what they're trying to achieve, then no one else is clear. So people do a whole bunch of other random stuff that doesn't necessarily educate children better or deliver better health outcomes. So you start with the outcomes and you hold people and the CEOs accountable for delivery. They either do them or they don't. And whatever organisational structure they need to deliver that is what they need
okay.
to do.
Okay, but it is it possible that in fact...
And then work your way forward.
Is it possible the other way forward. That when it comes to the 14,000 figure, which you've used repeatedly as an example mm-hmm. of what you're saying is too much spending by the government, that you don't actually cut any of them?
No, I think you've got to say, I can tell you, there'll be a smaller public service. How many? We'll work that through in due course, but the answer for me really clearly is I'm expecting outcomes, and you cannot carry on in New Zealand at the moment where everything's going backwards with more money, more people,
I'm just a bit confused because you were saying yesterday as well and again today that you wanted to bolster the civil service, that you wanted it stronger so you didn't have to use consultants.
I do want it stronger, but it doesn't mean I need more people. I want better delivery out of a public service. You know, people are not clear on the two or three things that they're there to achieve and to deliver for the New Zealand people.
It's an argument which falls short for the Public Service Association. Its National Secretary, Kerry Davies, says the increase in public service has been driven by the pandemic and the numbers stack up well internationally.
What they're failing to put in context is that the New Zealand's public service is proportionally the same size as the UK and Australia. The New Zealand spends a lower percentage of GDP on public services than Australia and the UK. And the public service is the same proportion of the broader public sector as it was in 2017. And further, since 2017, the public service has grown in the same proportion as the growth in the New Zealand workforce.
Kerry Davies agrees too many consultants are called on to provide policy advice when that could and should be done in-house. But she says cutting back on core public servants, as National proposes, will make that problem worse, not better.
There has been a tendency to contract out some of that type of work, and that's as a result of the public service cap that was brought in several years ago by the Key government that is still a legacy that we're still trying to rebuild the capability and capacity of the public service in some areas because of that rundown of the services.
That cap was introduced by the National Government in 2009, the fruition of a campaign promise by John Key to end the growth in paper shufflers, report writers and navel gazers.
Growth in bureaucracy has built up such momentum in recent years that we are going to have to pull extremely hard on the handbrake just to get things slowing down.
The PSA argues the cap caused a hollowing out of the public service, meaning a greater reliance on, yes, contractors and consultants. Which brings us full circle.
Once you run down a service, it takes many, many years to rebuild it.
It's worth noting the association's not just unhappy with the National Party. Kerry Davies objects also to Labour's public sector pay freeze and argues that too has contributed to the contractor problem. The government implemented the policy in the early days of the pandemic. It doesn't like the phrase pay freeze, preferring wage restraint guidance. But its intent was clear. Most public servants on more than 60 grand a year were to receive no or minimal pay bumps. Kerry Davies says it has been counterproductive. She gives the example of psychologists working for corrections who left because of poor pay and then returned as contractors at four times their previous rate.
We're getting reports from our members who tell us many stories of people who they're working alongside who have left and returned to get higher pay rates as consultants. It's something that's picked up through the pay restraint years.
Both the Prime Minister and the Public Service Commission dispute that is a significant problem. Peter Hughes says if it is happening, it's happening at the margins. But the pay freeze is currently under review and due to be updated in a matter of weeks. It's widely expected the policy will be relaxed given the current pressures on the cost of living. Take a listen to Chris Hipkins here And tell me that's not a Prime Minister gearing up for a change.
There has been a period of wage restraint within the public sector where we have asked for the pay increases to be directed to those who are on the lower incomes. And we have seen the gap between the lowest income earners in the public sector and the higher income earners in the public sector closing. That's been a good thing. But I also acknowledge that public sector wage growth has been lagging behind private sector wage growth. And, you know, there'll be some anxiety about that.
And that is anxiety the government will be keen to relieve. On this issue, it has the support of the National Party to move.
I'm very comfortable with looking at, you know, making sure that people are fairly remunerated in the public sector. That's not about this.
What
this
is a,
I personally think there's an opportunity for us to think about whether it can end. Yes, I do.
The Political Week closed with a new poll commissioned by the Taxpayers Union and conducted by Curia. It puts Labour in the top spot as the most popular party, but only just and short of the numbers needed to hold on to power. National and ACT, meanwhile, could form a government together, but again, only just. The election is shaping up to be a razor-sharp one, and National will be hoping for more weeks like this one, if it's to retake the lead. And that's Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCulloch. Thanks for joining us. Matua.